Welcome to the Celebration Church Podcast. Right now, you're going to hear from our pastor, Dennis Vardy. This month's series is called Do the Math, and it speaks about what God is wanting to add to your life and what he wants to subtract, and if division can be a lifesaver for you. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, let's get into today's message. We've been working through the math, and now today, obviously, multiplication, that's the one that was left over. I'm sure you figured that out if you've been following the last 3 weeks. It's like, well, I guess he's going to have to do multiplication, in terms of this Sunday. But you know, as you think about multiplication, and you think about something like an apple, that in God's creation, this apple, it only took one seed. It only took one seed to actually create this. But we know that as we open up an apple, that there are many other seeds inside of it. And that's really what we want to understand, is that what God has done here in creation actually is a picture of something bigger that he wants to do in and through your life. And I want to talk to you about that. Let's take a moment to pray and ask God to minister to us. Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word. I pray that, Father, that our faith and our understanding of how you want to work in and through our lives would be increased by this word. We thank you that your word doesn't return void, but accomplishes what it is sent to do. Lord, our minds are focused on you and our hearts are open. Speak to us. Make us better, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, from the beginning of creation, there was a system of multiplication that God put into the universe. And basically, I just described it to you, that inside of God's creation, he puts the seed of multiplication. Even in Genesis chapter 1, as he begins to create the earth, God speaks about this. It says, "Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. So God said, listen, right from the get-go, what I make is going to have the seed inside of it in order for it to be able to reproduce, in order for it to be able to multiply. When God created fish and every other animal, you know, under the water as well as above the water, the birds of the air, Genesis 1:22, it says that God blessed them saying, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters of the seas and let birds multiply on the earth." And so it just in creation alone, God said, "I'm already going to set this up." He says, how is he going to do it? He's going to put the seeds of multiplication inside of animals, inside of birds, so that they continue to multiply. Well, then he creates animals and every living thing that creeps on the earth, and they too have a capacity to multiply. And then, of course, we get to man. Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the seas and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And so just in the beginnings of creation and right through to mankind, God says, listen, I'm putting seed inside of you so that what? You can multiply, so that you can multiply. And of course, that's why we had four children. Well, think about it. If we'd only had two, we would have just been replacing ourselves. If we had three, that's called addition. You have to have at least four to have multiplication, right? One couple times two equals four. Do the math, okay? Well, you know, first the natural and then the spiritual. So God puts into his earth this formula, if you will, of multiplication, that he puts seed inside of everything he creates with a capacity to multiply, a capacity to multiply. Well, what about faith? What about walking with God? Abraham is known as the father of faith. He taught us what it meant to have faith in God, to live by faith. The Bible says that he was made right with God just by believing what God said about his life, and he received God's approval by faith, by faith. You know, the Ten Commandments were not even given. And Abraham already knew he was right with God. Why? Because God established way back with Abraham that being right with God was going to be a matter of faith, not performance. That's why we can never look. As a matter of fact, Abraham couldn't even look to a commandment and say, well, I know I'm a good person because here's what God said. There was no standard, nothing laid out. It wasn't going to be about, am I good enough for God or any of those things. No, it was about faith. And God was laying out that we are made right with him, not because of our performance, but because of our faith in him and what he has done. And he looked at the promise that God gave Abraham then as a spiritual leader, as a spiritual leader. Here's the promise he gave him. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. It says, now, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram. Of course, it's using the word Abram. We know his name gets changed to Abraham. Abram, and said to him, I am God Almighty. I heard somebody say, wow, when I said he was 99 years old. Wow, if God hadn't spoken to you yet, there's still hope. All right, here we go. He says, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. I will multiply you exceedingly. In other words, here's what God was saying. I'm going to establish a covenant with you, Abraham. I'm going to establish a relationship with you. I'm going to walk with you, but you need to understand, it's not just about you. Come on. It's not just about you. What I'm setting up with you, Abraham, is actually intentionally meant to be multiplied and meant to fill the earth. That what I'm setting up with you is meant to go much further than you. God was using Abraham to set a spiritual foundation of walking by faith. So when Jesus comes on the scene and he goes to the cross and he pays for the sins of the world as the final payment for all sin and rose from the grave, we are now made right with God simply because why? Because we put our faith in God's provision for us. That Jesus did it all, that you just believe that. And just in believing that and confessing that, you have an experience of forgiveness in your life. And for the first time in your life, you'll know what it means to be guilt-free. For the first time in your life, you'll know what it means for every criticism and every word spoken against you to be lifted off of you. Because why? Because you've been made right with God. And even greater than just a, well, I'm trying to have a purpose in my life, is a great sense of fulfillment. A sense of, I'm not searching anymore. Why? Because Jesus has come into my life. I'm absolutely fulfilled. I'm at peace with God. And that's the greatest peace anybody can experience. But here's the point. What God did with Abraham, teaching him to walk with God by faith, wasn't just about his relationship. It was about what he was going to multiply. It was the seed of multitudes of nations that we see today that are doing the very same thing, that all over this world, there are millions of people who are serving Jesus, who are made right with God by faith, just like Abraham was made right with God by faith. And what God did in Abraham, he greatly, exceedingly multiplied. The promise came to pass and is all over the world. Well, look at the church. You know, just consider the church. Multiplication was the intention for the church from the beginning. When Jesus told the disciples to go out and preach the good news, it was to be given to the whole world. It's in the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit was first poured out, the promise was this, that you're going to receive power in order to be a witness. And then he says this, first in Jerusalem. In other words, first in your own community. Then in Judea, then in surrounding communities, then to the very ends of the world. And so multiplication was the intention for the church right from its very conception. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, it says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And they walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied. They were multiplied. Multiplication is God's intention for the church. He multiplies disciples, people who are following Jesus multiply. As that multiplies, the church multiplies. I thank God for multiplication in our church, that over the years, just experiencing numbers of people coming to Jesus and the church growing, and just all that God has taken us through has just empowered us to be on a completely different platform, if you will, a completely different level of influence than we would have been if we hadn't multiplied. You know, I just look back at those early days when the church was like under 100 people and in a small building, and, you know, it was very comfortable, if you will, easy to pay the bills, easy to, you know, take care of things, and everybody knows everybody, just a real wonderful, warm, everybody happy, happy, happy fellowship. And you know, if we'd have bought into some of the small thinking that gets into Christians' minds that says, oh, this is what church is all about, we'd have never multiplied. And really to think that way is to say that we really don't care about the fact that there are people that are lost, that there are people that are far from God. I'm just happy to be Abraham experiencing God in my life. I'm not worried about the fact that there are others that need to experience him in their life. But thank God for the faith and the faithfulness of believers who believe that the church is meant to multiply, that it's meant to go further. Acts 12, 24 says that the word of God grew and multiplied. The word of God grew and multiplied. You know, using the word grow, I mean, it's almost like comparing it to like a plant, isn't it, or a tree. Jesus in Luke 8, Mark 4, and Matthew 13, three different times in the Bible, in three different gospels, refers to the message of salvation, or the word of God, as a seed. Refers to it as a seed. In other words, Jesus is saying that the very nature of his message is that of a seed that gets planted in the hearts of people. That God creates a seed inside of people when his message of salvation is shared. Now think about that, because when you think about God's word and the gospel being a seed, there's only one reason that God creates seeds, and that is for multiplication. That's the only reason God works through this whole seed principle, if you will, is for multiplication. You see, as I said earlier, it only took one seed to create this apple. Just one seed. Yet inside of this apple is the potential for a small orchard. I mean, it's amazing when you think about it that inside of this apple, there's enough seeds here that your backyard could be absolutely covered in apples. Every fall, I mean, all over the place. I mean, it's the most amazing thing. Well, when you think about that, you understand that God uses a seed, and out of seed comes multiplication. And then God says, guess what? My word is a seed that goes into your life. And the intention of that seed is not just one apple. The intention of that seed is not just your salvation. But the intention of that seed is actually multiplication. Your life, if you're a Christian, is the product of the seed of God's word that got planted inside of you. 1 Peter 1:23 says, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. You became a Christian. You became a Christ follower. You got born again. You experienced God's forgiveness. All that happened came because why? Because a seed got put in you called God's word. The message of Jesus comes to you as a seed. It's something that goes into your heart and it works inside of you till eventually it becomes this full-blown plant and faith towards God and this mature, you know, walking with God believer. And eventually you said yes to Jesus, and that seed caused you to literally produce faith to receive salvation. That's what that seed grew up to be. But just like that apple seed inside of you, seeds of faith get planted in you. just like an apple. Just like an apple was grown by a seed, and inside of it is the seed of more apples. Inside of you exist the seeds of faith for other people. Everything God does in your life becomes a seed for multiplication. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who did what? Reconciled us to himself through Christ and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. See what he's doing here? He's saying, listen, you've been reconciled, but now that reconciliation actually becomes your ministry. Your story of reconciliation becomes your ministry of reconciliation. How you came to faith is now a seed of faith to be planted in others. That's how this works. How you came to faith is actually now a seed. It has the power of multiplication inside of it. Your story contains in it the ability to exceedingly multiply what God has done in you when it's planted inside of others. What God did to bring you to a place of faith and receiving Jesus and how he changed your life, that's your story. But your story is actually a seed of faith that's to be planted and shared in the life of others. Your story is how God will change other lives. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word concerning Christ. And as people hear your story, no matter what your story is, it contains a seed of faith. You know, don't ever look down on your story. You know, sometimes we hear a story of somebody who is just, you know, living like out of bounds, completely just off the rails, you know, and man, their life, they were either high on drugs or drunk and partying and in rebellion and maybe even went to prison. And then they found the Lord, and we look and we go, man, whew, what a story. You know, I don't know if you thought about it, but the truth of the matter is there's actually a limited number of people that live that way. And so it's a great story, but don't minimize the story. Yeah. You know, that story is not my story, in case you're wondering. Now you can breathe a sigh of relief. Because my story was actually, everything was going great. I was succeeding. I was, you know, in university. I had my career path laid out. I knew how much money I could make in life. I knew I could have everything that life could give me. I knew I'd be right on top of the world. And in the midst of having it all, still felt like something is missing. And it wasn't until I connected with Jesus that sense of something is missing left my life. And so we all have a different story is really what I'm trying to say to you. And our story relates to people no matter where they're at. Your story might be a story of rescue where there was addictions and things like that. Maybe it's a story of repentance that involves just a lot of bad decisions. You know, maybe your story is a story where you got born again like as soon as you could talk, man. You're like 2.5 years old. You want to receive Jesus? Yep. It's always great when a 2-year-old says yes, because man, they know how to say no. And maybe that's your story. And you say, well, Pastor, where's my life-changing story? It doesn't have to be, you know, in that sense, life-changing, but it can be life-giving. The fact that at a very young age, you gave your life to Christ and you've experienced walking with Jesus and you know what it means to have the Holy Spirit guide your life and God to just give you direction and words of knowledge and wisdom and opportunities to make some poor choices, but you just felt like the Holy Spirit said, don't go there. You felt like God said, don't, those aren't the kind of people that you need to spend a bunch of time with right now. God just began to work with you and walk with you through life, and your story is a story of walking with Jesus and avoiding a bunch of stuff that so many people get involved with. Maybe that's your story, but here's what I do know. When the Apostle Paul had the opportunity to preach to a king by the name of Agrippa, all he did was tell his story. Paul's a smart guy. Paul's a student of scriptures. Paul could have tore into. Here's what it says back in Genesis, and here's what it says back in Exodus, and here's what it says in Numbers, and here's what it says in Leviticus, and here's all that connects to what's happened here in the last few months and years. And he could have went through that whole deal. What's he do? He says, let me tell you a story. Yeah. And all he does is tell his story. And the conversation wraps up where Paul's saying, listen, if I keep going, King Agrippa, I think you'll become just like me. You know, you're going to get born again. Well, I better keep moving because my story's getting a little too long, but according to the clock. Here's another seed that God has in your life. What God does for you is meant to be multiplied through you. What God does for you is actually meant to be multiplied. It's amazing. You see it all through the scriptures, this principle of multiplication. Everything he's going to do multiplies. I'm going to do this, but we're going to multiply. I'm going to get you saved, but it's about the salvation of other people too. And now he says, I'm going to comfort you, but it's actually about the comfort I'm going to bring to other people. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, blessed be the God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that, you say, well, why don't you just stop there? He comforts us in all our affliction. Praise God. You know, it's awesome, great, God comforts us. No, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So right there is a formula of multiplication. I'm going to meet you at your point of pain. I'm going to meet you at your point of heartbreak. I'm going to meet you when life is tough. And I'm going to comfort you. And I'm going to help you. And I'm going to heal you. And I'm going to strengthen you. But you need to know this, that what I do for you now becomes the seed to be planted in somebody else's life. In somebody else's life. Miracles are the seeds of faith pointing to a living God. Miracles are the seeds of faith pointing to a living God. Look at this, Mark chapter 16, verse 17. This is just another form of seed God's placed in your life. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they'll drive out demons, and they'll speak with new tongues, and they'll pick up snakes with their hands, and they'll drink deadly poison. It won't hurt them at all. They'll place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. He's describing the miraculous. He's saying, listen, people that follow me, they're going to see the Holy Spirit do things that people's heads go, right? It's like, I can't explain that. This doesn't fit my you know, logical, rational, I need to be able to figure it all out mind. Of course it's not. We're talking about God here. You think you're going to put God in your head? He's going to do all kinds of things that aren't, you know, calculable by your own mind, but you just got to accept that it happened. That's what miracles are like. It's like, there's no like, I can figure it out, I can see. No, it's a miracle. It is what it is. And we just accept that God is at work. But I love the way it words it, because here's what it could have said and then it doesn't say. The scripture starts off, even if you want to go back to the previous slide on here, that'd help. Look at this. Starts off and it says, and these signs. You know, it could have read very differently and could have simply said, these events. Think about it. Could have said, these events. God says, no, they're not events. They're signs. In other words, they're not just something that will happen in your life where you kind of hold on to it and go, yeah, I remember the time, man, I was sick and I got somebody to pray for me and whew, broke that fever and I felt better. The next day I was able to go to work. What an awesome thing. God said, that wasn't an event, that was a sign. Yep. Yeah. And it becomes a sign when it's shared with somebody else. That's how these things work. It becomes a sign when it's shared with somebody else. You see, these signs, these are signs that other people need to hear about, need to learn about. As a matter of fact, I was having coffee with somebody this week, and we got into talking about matters of faith and some of the struggles they were having and different things. And I just opened up to this person. I just said, I got to be honest with you, I'm ruined. I said, when it comes to believing God, I said, I'm ruined. I just seen too much. Yeah. I mean, I said, we got two babies in our church, shouldn't even exist right now. but and I went on and told him about miracle births, miracles that God did in people's lives. Doctors said, you're not going to have babies. And God said, I think you will. As a matter of fact, I just found out this week there's another miracle baby about to be born in about a month from now. And so it's not about like bragging about church or bragging about yourself or something like that. Here's what it is. I'm just sharing the signs. I'm just sharing the signs. So what are the signs? They point to the fact that there's a living God, that we better pay attention and not just take that lightly, but realize that, that's how it is. You see, this is a seed that God places in your life. Remember the man who was born blind? And Jesus heals him. And then the religious people want to argue all about it. And he just makes it so simple. He says, listen, all I know is I used to be blind, but now I see. Yeah. It's like, deal with it. You know what I'm saying? That's all I know is I used to be blind, but now I see. He just shares his miracle. Well, God's intention is for multiplication. God's method is through a seed. And the only variable that needs to be addressed is you and me, the sower. And so that was my introduction. And now I need to help you with those blanks that are making some of your personalities really, really sweat right now. The scripture tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the what? Reason for the hope that you have. Be prepared to give an answer for the reason of the hope that you have. We're to be prepared. You know something, a lot of times you can look at that and you can think, well, man, I need to be prepared. I need to go to Bible school. I need to do this. I need to do that. The truth of the matter is the moment you received Jesus, you got your preparation. I remember when I was a university student, I first got born again, gave my life to Christ, and I had a lot of lost friends. I mean, I was not living in church world. I was far from it. And I remember this one friend of mine who he'd play basketball and smoke dope. That was pretty much his life. And I don't know if he ever did finish school, but that was his deal. And I remember connecting with him. By the way, I just played basketball, just in case you're wondering. And I just remember after giving my life to Christ, just telling him everything I knew as best as I knew, you know, how to explain it, and then telling him, well, you want to pray, man? And he's like, prays and gives. He said, what do we do now? I said, I don't know. I said, let's go to the church and find the pastor. He'll know what to do next, you know. I just took it as far as I could, and then went and did that, and it was great because it was like, well, I just gave my best at. Here's my reason for the hope within. We often invite people to come to our church. Before I invited him to come to my church, I invited him to come to Christ. Right. And this is what God is getting at here. I'm not downing the invite to church. As a matter of fact, you just got a bunch of them handed to you today, these little round things here that you can use, and that's awesome. What I'm trying to say is, please don't let that be your only way that you reach out to people. If we're going to reach people throughout our city using the principle of multiplication, then we need to understand that the platform is not just something for a pastor to speak from. It's not just the pastor's voice that we've got to get our friend to hear. But the truth of the matter is that you have a voice, and 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 you have a voice. And if you will use the voice that God gave you, you take this platform, listen, and you multiply it by putting it on the platform that God gave you. Because God's given every one of us a platform. We just need to use our voice. Well, 1 Corinthians 9 is in your notes, and you can read it later because I need to move on. Let's call that homework, okay? Here we go. Number one. That's the introduction. We'll do this real quick. Number one, how am I going to improve my ability to sow seed? First of all, have a heart to serve. Have a heart to serve. The starting place of sowing God's word is not your mouth, it's your heart. It's having a heart that actually cares about people, that cares about their eternity, that cares about the fact that they may be far from God, they don't know God, that they may have never gone to church, maybe that's their background, whatever it is, but a heart that just says, man, you just need to know Jesus, because that's the message, because that's what life is about. It's about knowing Jesus. Second, number two, connect with people. Connect with people. What's that about? Don't live on a Christian island where your life becomes just absorbed in Christian relationships and isolated from people that are far from God. And, you know, you go to church and it's good, and you go to a connect group and that's good. I'm not saying don't do those things. I'm just saying get further. Don't be that person who's like, man, I work at a Christian office, and when I bought my house, I made sure there was Christian neighbors in the neighborhood, and I bought a Christian dog, and I just, you know, everything is so Christian. And You can just get to an island, and when you get there, you can become dysfunctional at having a normal conversation with somebody who doesn't know those things. And so we need to connect. Paul said in that scripture you're going to read later, I entered their world. I entered their world. I kept my bearings in Christ. I didn't compromise to do it, but I entered their world. I became all things to all people. I'd like to put it this way: mutual interests make us interesting to each other. And that's often how God connects us into the worlds of people. We just have mutual interest. That's the way this thing works. Number three, earn the right to be heard. I'm going to camp here for a little bit and then we're going to close. Earn the right to be heard. Just because you're in the same room doesn't give you the right to speak. Paul talked about entering their world, seeing things from their point of view, serving people, connecting with common ground. Obviously, there'd been a little bit of time here of building relationship. And you say, how do I earn the right to be heard? First of all, be sincere in your friendship. Yeah. Be sincere in your friendship. That's like, I actually care about this person. I actually like this person. Maybe you don't like the person. Care about them anyway. But I'm saying, be sincere in your friendship. Jesus was accused and put down for being what? A friend of sinners. Not just seen as a friend of sinners, but being a friend of sinners. Connecting with people, you know, eating and drinking with these people that were far from God. Why? Because he was sincere in his friendship towards them. Be sincere. Second thing, add value to people. Serve. Find a need and meet it. You know, give them advice if they're looking for advice. Give them help if they're looking for help. You know, sometimes one of the things I've been lately finding myself doing is just affirming and encouraging what's good in somebody else's life. Think about it. People struggle in life, struggle at work, whatever, and never hear words of affirmation. Nobody ever tells them, hey, you know what? You're actually doing really good at this. Just add value to people. Let them know how you know, just encourage them in that way. Here's another one. How do we earn the right to be heard? Live the life. Live the life. The scripture says you should have a good reputation outside of the church. How many know something? You can have a different reputation in here than you have out there. It can happen. We don't want to be that way. Hebrews 13:18 says we are to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. Conduct ourselves honorably in all things. In other words, don't be that person who badmouths the boss like everybody else does in the lunchroom. Man, it's quiet in here, really quiet. Tip your waitress. Hello. Oh, man. If you're not going to leave a tip, don't leave one of these. Clean up after yourself. Show up on time. Well, I do, Pastor. I always show up on time to work. Well, the Bible says you're to be honorable in all things, so why don't you start showing up on time to church? Because I'm going to tell you something. My friends show up earlier than some of you. Matter of fact, too many of you. That wasn't meant to be funny. I'm serious. My friends that don't follow Jesus, they show up on time. Use your manners. Please and thank you. Oh, you sound like my mom. Yeah, but your mom was right. Be courteous to people. Smile. I think we'd win more people to Jesus if people just smiled. It's like, I don't feel like it. I didn't ask you how you felt. I just told you what to do. Smile. Your feelings will change. They'll catch up. Trust me. Make your bed. My wife threw that one in. Quote of the week, quote of the week from my wife. Thank you for the flowers, but you still need to make the bed. Let me say this quickly because I got to wrap up. People may not get the message from your conduct, but you can certainly discredit the message with your conduct. I'd drop a mic if I held one. One more. People have to buy into you before they'll buy into your message. Okay, number four. Initiate conversation about Jesus. It's so easy to talk about church, and sometimes that's maybe where we go, and that's all cool and everything, but if you can move it to Jesus, if you could just talk about Jesus, just let people know about Jesus. If they leave you and the only thing that's on their mind is there's this guy named Jesus who changes lives, then you've sown a good seed. Talk about Jesus. Number five, last one, be committed for the long haul. You know, before a tree got to where this came off of it, it took some time. It took some time for that seed to grow, that seed to absorb sunlight and rain and all of the process of what had to happen before it got there. And whoever was growing this had to exercise some patience. They couldn't walk out the next day and go, man, I planted a seed. Are you ready? It's like, no, I'm still growing, still growing. I've got people that I'm believing God for and have been for literally decades. Decades. Let's be a people who are in it for the long haul. Would you stand as we take time to pray? I just believe that God wants to multiply this platform. And the way that he wants to do that is to use, for each of us to use the platform that God has given us in our lives. Because we each have one. We each have one. But as I take time to pray right now, I'm also mindful that there are people here who have had seeds of faith sown in their life, that maybe even you're with a friend who's been telling you about Jesus here today, and that's why you came today. Somebody's been sowing seeds of faith that have been sown maybe even for years in your life. And I'm asking you, if you have not yet, I'm giving you an invitation to receive him as my Lord and Savior and to begin my own walk with God. And if that's where you're at today, then I'm inviting you to pray with me right where you're standing. And today is a great day for your life, because today's the day when you can say that I finally became a Christ follower. I'm finally coming into all that God has been putting in my heart over the years. I want to invite us to bow our heads, if you would, please, and as we take this moment. And I want to ask, how many here would say, Pastor, you know what? I want to be included in that prayer. Today's my day. Just raise your hand. Just give me a wave to say, you know what? Today's my day. I want to follow Jesus. Today's my day. Thank you, guys. That's awesome. Today's my day. Anybody else? We don't want to miss anybody. Today's my day to follow Jesus. Let's pray with those who are praying right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you for giving your life to pay for me. I ask you to forgive me. And I invite you into my heart. I'm going to follow you. I confess you as my Savior and the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray for each and every one of us who are here. Lord, I ask, God, that you would use us. God, that the promise of multiplication, your formula of multiplication, would work in our lives. Lord, you've already put the seeds of faith inside of us to be shared with others. Now, Father, I thank you for boldness. I thank you for confidence. I thank you for compassion. All of those things, God, working inside of us. Lord, let us be intentional. Let us be intentional. Lord, even as we think about a farmer who sows seed, they are intentional. God, let us be that way, I pray. And may you use us. May you use us to change this city and change this nation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from our series, Do the Math. If you're wanting to know more about Celebration Church or you would like to partner with us financially, visit us online at celebrationedmonton.com and follow us on our Instagram and Facebook at Celebration EDM. Come back next week to hear another great message.